Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to all of you listening to the sound of my voice. This is Elder Gerald Livingston from Push Outreach Ministries and Shekinah Glory Ministries. Now today we will have another episode of Push My Story, and we will be discussing topic with the theme of hair. Now, as you can recall, those of you who are familiar with the Word of God, Samson had an anointing in his hair, okay? Now, Samson was a judge, and he was a judge for the nation of Israel to protect the Jewish nation from the Philistine enemy at the time. Now, prior to Samson's birth, he was given a decree from an angel to his mother that his hair was never to be shaven because it was a Nazarite vow and he was a Nazarene. Now, God sometimes uses certain things when he gives supernatural abilities to test your faith or to keep you in alignment with what he wants to do. And his mother, Samson's mother, told him you were never supposed to tell anyone about the source of your supernatural power, okay? Now, Samson was doing all right for a while, but as in all of human flesh, as we are all creatures of the flesh, he had human weaknesses. His happened to be the Philistine women, okay? He had to go outside of his jurisdiction. He didn't want a Jewish woman. He wanted a Philistine woman. Now, it doesn't, I'm not getting into particularly about race, interracial marriage or anything, because that's not the subject, okay? The thing is, I think if he had done everything in compliance with what God had wanted, even if he had married a Philistine woman, it would have worked out. But see, Samson had weaknesses. God can give us great ability and great gifts, but we have to always come to accountability with regard to how we use these gifts and display these gifts, okay? We cannot just go around because we say, well, I got this gift, and look what I got. And we pay attention and put everything on ourselves as the origin of everything that we do that may be spectacular and don't give God any glory. That's not the way it works, okay? Now, like I said, God trusted Samson with a secret about his supernatural ability. Now, when he created Samson, he could have put that, anywhere in his body. It didn't have to be his hair, so to speak. It could have been his hands or his feet or anything. But God, for his own reasons and his omnipotence and his foreknowledge, chose to use hair in this case, okay? Now, before we were talking about woman's hair as her glory, all right? Now, woman's hair as her glory, you can think of it the same way. God made women, because he took a rib out of Adam and made a woman, but women have different parts, anatomical parts than a man, and these anatomical parts are necessary so that procreation can come about, the making of children. Now, when God made the woman, I'm pretty sure it was his plan somewhere in time for Adam and Eve to procreate themselves, but God being the person that he is, he has to always give you a test, okay? He has to always have something. He has to have a measuring stick to see if you're going to be in compliance and obedience to what he says before he can further a species. Now, he's not going to further a species to procreate, even though Adam and Eve had the appropriate anatomical parts to do such a thing. God did not put it in their knowledge at the time to even go about trying to even think about doing that. But he had those. Think about it now. When he created Adam and Eve, he gave them anatomical parts for a reason, okay? Now, since they were covered with the glory of God in the garden, they probably didn't even, they didn't probably have to go to the bathroom or anything, because they were walking with God in the garden supernaturally. So even though they may have tasted of the fruits in the garden and certain things, okay, because they were probably vegetarians because, there was no need to eat any meat because I'm sure the garden was laden with fruits and vegetables. So that's how come nowadays you got people going around. They want to be vegetarians and this and that, okay? But God has created the human phenome and the human structure so that if a body is just strict vegetarian without protein, you will wrinkle. You will age rapidly more. okay? And instead of, call yourself trying to slow things down, you speed things up in terms of your mortality, all right? Now, back to the subject. Samson was trusted with a secret. He was trusted with the power of God and what the source was, okay? Now, we all know the story. I'm not going to get into how Samson fell in disobedience, okay? But it's the same thing in our own lives, okay? God sometimes gives us certain types of blessings, depending upon our gifts and depending upon our walk with God and depending upon our closeness to God and how he will use us in the future. Now, we must always remember that anytime God gives us anything in terms of any kind of gift, we cannot get the big head or think that, you know, it was all my creation, all my doing, and my genius. God is the origin of the universe. He's the origin of any genius that may be imputed into any of us prior to conception, because it says in the Word of God, God said he knew us in the belly before we even came out. He knew what we was going to be. He knew where we was going to go and what was going to happen. He knew the past, present, and our future. Okay? Now, what we do is when we come into this world through our mother, through the pull of our mother, okay, then the door to our mother gives us entrance into the world, and then we, as we grow up, the sin nature manifests itself very rapidly. Okay? It doesn't take a lot of time. So when the sin nature manifests itself rapidly, we get into all kinds of trouble, okay? We get into all kinds of mischief, and we do things that God's word restricts us to do, and it's because of the carnal nature. So since we are born with the carnal nature that we inherited from Adam and the Garden of Eden from the fall in the garden, we have to get reconnected to God. Now, I want you to think about something. When Adam and Eve were created by God, they didn't have a navel. A navel? What is a navel? Well, that little belly button that you got on your stomach, all of us have, that cord is what sends nutrients and blood to the child when it's in the mother's womb, okay? So when when Adam and Eve's children were born, they had navels, okay, because that whole procreation system was instituted at that time. Now, you must understand that when we were in the womb of our mothers, once we came into this world, we had blood in our veins, okay? But the blood in our veins spiritually has the DNA of Adam in it. The DNA of Adam is the sin nature, okay? And the sin nature must be submissive to God so that God can cleanse the blood and put it into his supernatural DNA, which is giving life, giving salvation through the acceptance of his son's sacrifice on the cross. Now, you may ask, okay, you have to either, in this world, we are born, whether we like it, with a choice. Nobody, I didn't ask to come into this world. I didn't ask, nobody asked you about whether you want a choice or not. That's just the way everything is structured. You got a choice. Just like there's a sun, there's a moon. Did you ask for that to be put in the sky? It was there when you got here, right? Well, just like it was there when you got here, you got a choice with regard to whether, when you go through this world, whether you're going to submit yourself when you come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, whether you want to submit himself to you, or whether you want to go about your own way. See, because there's only two pathways. I don't care if they tell you there's this pathway and this religion and that religion. And some people say all religions lead back to God. No, that is a lie. All religions do not lead to God. All religions lead to people who think they lead to God, but the only way to God, the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way to God. He's the one that made atonement for our sin, for our carnal nature, so that we can come into compliance and submit ourselves to God, all right? Now, you see all kinds of fad, okay? You see, nowadays you see people, they tattooing their bodies and they piercing their flesh and all kinds of things. Now, when you were born, did God tattoo you? The only tattoos that I have seen that God has placed on human flesh is something called birthmarks, okay? But that's put there by God. That was not, that you was born with that. Some people may have an indentation on their skin that others don't have or a little look. That's something that God did. That's a natural birthmark, tattoo, if you want to call it, okay? Anything other than what you came in here naturally on your skin that God didn't place there, that's something that you decided to do. God did not make us so that we could graffiti ourselves up and you know, so we could draw attention to our flesh. So when you graffiti yourself up, think about it. What are you trying to do? You're trying to draw attention to your flesh. That's what people do. They want to draw attention. People, you know, they pierce themselves through wherever. They want to draw attention to themselves. Their consciousness, their mind consciousness, is on themselves. And they want to draw attention to themselves. There's no glorification to God in it. Now, some of you may say, well, that just, well, you don't know what you're talking about. I've seen tattoos with crosses. What does that supposed to mean? You can, if you want a tattoo of a cross, don't put it on your flesh. Put it branded in your heart, branded in your mind. You know, and people will know that it's there by the abundance of the words that you speak, by the content of your speech, your personality, and your integrity will magnify the cross that you carry. You don't have to have anything visibly on you or carry something around that says I'm a Christian or something branded on your wrist. And that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. God looketh at the heart. He trieth the reins of the heart. That's the only thing he's going to look at. And what is the heart? The heart is the intents and thoughts of your carnal mind being transformed from iniquity, from fallen nature to God's nature. Now, if you have not been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, God doesn't look at your heart. Your heart is wicked. Okay, he knows what's in it, but he is not going to pay attention to your comings and goings because, you know, you have decided to submit yourselves to the world of flesh and the devil. Basically, that's what it amounts to. And if you want to submit yourself to the world of flesh and the devil, then one day you're going to have to have accountability for your decision. What people have to realize is that while we are here one day, we will in eternity future have to have accountability for our decisions while we walk the earth and our mortal bodies. And since everybody is trying to discard the blood of Jesus and the birth of Jesus and the existence of Jesus and all of these other things to take away Jesus out of our mind, hearts, emotions, will, everything, and just get you counted on everything, and you think, you know, that you can work your way to heaven. They got all these little things going around. Well, you can work. You cannot work. Good works will not get us to God. We were separated from God when we transgressed, when our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-father transgressed in the Garden of Eden, and God had to send his only son manifest in flesh who walked the earth as a man and submitted himself to death on the cross and spilled his blood for our salvation. That's the only way that we can be straightened out in terms of our right thinking instead of our stinking thinking and all these other things that's going on and the things that we do that God does not permit. So you must see, all right, even though God used Samson with a hair symbolism type thing, he gave him his anointing in his hair. God gives many men gifts to many men, but they're not in the hair. Some men have great creative geniuses. Some people have gifts in their mind. Some people have gifts in their musical abilities. Some people have gifts in their writing abilities. But these are not, these are just gifts, okay? But I'm not talking, these are just gifts. But Samson had what is called an anointing. An anointing. And these gifts are anointed. Don't miss that. But to flow, when you flow with God and the gifts that are submitted, that he has provided you, for the furtherance of the kingdom of God, that's what pleases the heart of God. Not you doing it so that you can get more money or you can get notoriety in a magazine or get popular or get on TV. That's not why he did it. Okay? He did it because God wants to be glorified in the earth, and the only way he can be glorified in the earth is he uses our bodies and our minds to glorify him. Okay? Now, without much more ado at this time, I'm going to give Pastor Mina words.
How can we escape if we neglect such great a salvation? You know, the scripture tells us, you know, let us come and reason together. Even though our sins be as scarlet, red like crimson, amen, God can make them as white as snow. This is why we have to come together as a unit, because when God brings us together as a unit and we are one accord, like the day of Pentecost, we can speak the same thing and mind the same thing and be perfectly joined in the same mind and same judgment. We just thank God, amen, praise God. Elder was building a case and showing, you know, the different things that are being how the enemy come to distract the anointing and how he tried to distract and bring confusion. Amen. You got to realize, amen, that when we come together and when we understand what God is saying, when we understand his word, the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We have to realize, amen, that God had instituted and had put in a place amendments for us to carry out. As Elder has foresaid, God had instituted all this in place. We didn't ask to come here, like he said. We didn't know we was even, we didn't even know that we were supposed to be here. But the thing is, we are here. Now, what do we do while we're here? But the thing about it is that we must understand the perfect will of God. We have so many different religions, not all about religion, amen. It's about God's salvation. It's not our salvation, it's his salvation, the Bible says. And we have to realize that we are working towards something. We are working to be perfected in our character, in our attitude, in our way of life, the way we love one another, treat one another. But God don't need no extra additives. He doesn't need no additional clauses or anything added to his word. He wants us to understand what the word said, because everything God does is a cycle. I want you to know one thing. It's like the ecosystem. Let me bring the ecosystem into place, because one thing works with another and it provides for another. And it works for us the way God has this all completed and all laid out for every one of us. We have to know, amen, through his healing word, through his knowledge of word of wisdom. And the only way that you're going to receive this is being born again of the water and of the spirit. Oh, we cannot even receive the hidden mystery, because the hidden mystery is not to the flesh and to the carnal mind, but it's those that walk in the spirit, walking and being born of the spirit. Nicodemus asked the question, said, can we go back to my mother's womb and be born again? No. No, that's not, he's not talking about a natural thing. He's talking about a spiritual thing. So many times, what are you trying to say, Pastor Livingston? What I'm saying is, many times we adding to God's word. We are taking away from God's word. We're displaying, and we think that God needs a display of negative, or he needs to manifest negative things. It has nothing to do with what God had put in place. Because when God do something, it is absolutely, it's not an alternative, it's absolute. It's actually, amen, praise God, it needs nothing. We don't need tattooing. We don't need all this rigmarole and all this other stuff. You know, man do anything for his own glory, but what we do for God will last. Everything that we do is to glorify God. And then when we find ourselves weak, amen, praise God, I want you to know, amen, you're not weak, but you're strong in Christ Jesus. We need to learn how to celebrate our strength so that we can overcome our weakness, because if we don't celebrate our strength, then our weakness is small. God is awesome. Amen. And as Elder was bringing in the book of Judges, we're going to give you the scriptures where we're coming from a little later. when he was bringing the judges and he was talking about Samson, because at that particular time they had the judges. That's the way God carried out, just like he carried out even today in the Western society. And there's nothing peculiar about God. There's nothing old-fashioned or anything. It's just that he's a God that's at any time, in century time, modern time, whatever time that you want to say that I am, that's who he is. Whenever, you know, he's Jehovah God. Amen. So what my point is that God used specific things for specific reason, like Elder was talking about the hair. We know at that particular time because that's the way God designed. He designed it that way. Now today, you know, somebody's asking the question about women wearing doilies and wearing hats to, you know, on their head before they go into the church. Do you wear a hat when you go to work? Huh? Do you go to work with a hat sitting up on your head and they forbid it? Of course not. Do you go in the store with a hat on your head? Huh? Okay, if he said don't come in here with a hat, if that's the rule, don't come in here with a hat, it means don't come with the hat. Okay, understand me. And if what's good for me is good for all of us, because when he's saying to one, he's saying to all of us. So if he said do not come in the store with the hat, that means the woman can't come in there with a hat and the man can't come in there with a hat. So what's my point? My point is when we go to God in the house of God, amen, God is not forbidding, amen. He's not telling you, amen, specifically, you know, that you got to have, amen, something on your head. Because if that's the case, then the man should have something on his head too. We also realize that the woman, amen, praise God, her hair is her glory. Because it's a shame, amen, for a woman to be bald. It's a shame for the woman to cut all her hair off. Amen. We realize that. So when God says, come in the house of God and uncovered, amen, prophesying, praying, he's not talking about your hair. He's talking about, amen, when you come in the house of God, amen, praise God. Make sure you come with a sincere heart. Make sure, amen, that your heart is right with God. Make sure, amen, praise God, that you have the right intentions, amen, that you come, amen, to be saved and to see others be saved. Praise God. I want you to realize, amen, that God, amen, look, God don't have to play games and witchcraft. God is not the author of confusion. God don't bring confusion. But you know why? Because all that is distraction from the anointing of God. It brings on stress. It brings disappointment. It brings arguments. It brings fear. It brings a lack of trust. And we find ourselves fighting one another. And guess what happened? God has not gotten no glory. The work of God has not been done because we are stuck on things and we are stuck on things that have nothing to do with salvation. God wants your heart. He knows your heart. Amen. The Bible speaks about it. We worship God with our lips, but our heart is far from him. He wants us to surrender all to him, to come to him as we are. Amen. We come stripped, naked, just like Adam came into the garden. When he was in the garden, he did what he did, amen, and he broke the rule. He broke the commandment. He let God, he felt that he let God down. So he went and hid himself, and he said, I was naked. God asked him, where was it? He said, I hid myself, and I was naked. He said, well, who told you you were naked? See, when we are doing things that are not right, amen, praise God, we feel naked. We feel condemned. We feel like we've done something wrong because our conscience tells us. when we do it right or wrong. Amen. Our conscience, we are born with a conscience that tells us good and evil, right from wrong. So when we are condemned, amen, praise God, God said his, look, he is greater than our heart. So when we feel condemned and everything, we should make it, we should make sure that we are reading the Word of God, soaking in the Word of God, meditate in the Word of God. That way, when we are, we got understanding, not our understanding, but God's understanding, God's revelation knowledge, understanding. You must know, amen, it has nothing to do with the world. And the world loves its own. I'm not saying we are in the world, but the Bible said transform the renewing of your mind. You cannot transform your own mind. You have to get in the Word of God to study the Word of God. The Bible said examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. We all make errors. We all make mistakes. But that doesn't mean that we cannot learn from our mistakes. That does not mean, amen, praise God, that one religion is better than the other. And no, no, no. God wants us to come together and reason together. Though our sins be a scarlet, red like crimson. God said he'll make them white as snow, but we got to be honest before God. We got to come to him surrendering all. Amen. The Bible says cast all your care upon him because he cares for us. He will lighten our load. He will teach us the way. Amen. Don't you know this path? Amen. When you get in the Word, get in Psalms 82. It talks about the path. We all come from different geographic locations. We were brought up different. God bring us all, amen, on a different pathway. Amen. We all experience different ways and knowledge. That's because when we come together for the good, not for confusion, not for animosity, not for hate. God wanted, he wished that we all, what, prosper. And be in good health, even as our soul prosper. So when I'm prophesying, when I'm praying for you, I may not have time to find me a hat. I may not even have a hat on me. What are you going to do? Amen. Praise God, you have to put on the garment of praise, the garment, God's Shekinah glory covering. That's the glory that he wants. He wants you to give your heart, soul, and mind, amen, praise God. And when you're ministering and when you're praying and prophesying, that it's coming from God and not from your flesh, not from the things that you have learned, not from the poison and the false doctrine and doctrine of devils that you have somebody put in your spirit, and you allow it to come in your spirit, and then you're going to tell somebody else that. See, the thing about it is we find ourselves polluting, and we are polluting, and we are putting, look, we are putting monkey wrench in the chamber. We are putting monkey wrenches, amen, praise God, to start the cycle of God. You cannot. I'm telling you, let me repeat this again real clear for you. You cannot take away. You cannot add. You cannot do anything against what God has in place. Now, what I want to tell you before I go off the air is that you got to learn how to fight, amen, the enemy that's trying to bring all this distraction. Now, he's going to do it now. I promise you, get yourself ready, amen. But God will show you how to fight, amen, praise God. And it's not the kind of fight you think, but he'll teach you the good fight of the faith, amen. There is a skill, there is a method, there is a mystery, there is anointing, there is some undiscovered knowledge that you don't even have no clue that God wants to share with you. But I want you to know, amen, you are on the winning side. Amen. We have such great salvation. How can we neglect such greater salvation? Amen. Our salvation is great. Amen. Praise God. The Bible let us know how can we neglect if we don't study How can we neglect such great a salvation? I want you to realize, amen, praise God, that we should make and take the most earnest heed to the things that we have heard, unless we let them slip. And if we're not careful, amen, praise God, we'll let the world get into us. Don't let the world get in you, amen, but you bring the world, amen, praise God, you bring the word to the world, amen. So the scriptures that we're coming from was the book of Judges, amen, you can read it, talking about Samson. Also, 1 Corinthians, amen, the 11th chapter, 1 through 11, it tells you about the glory of God, the woman's, amen, hair is her glory, amen, and we're talking about salvation, amen, praise God. How can we neglect such greater salvation? Coming from the book of Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, the 1st through the 4th verse. Also, it talks about, amen, when God gives us great leaders, amen. Paul said it best. He said, follow me as I follow as Christ. You know, so we follow those that are worshiping and working, amen, the word of God. Amen, praise God. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. Thank you for tuning in to Push My Story. Everybody have a story to tell. Everybody's dealing with something or somebody. But remember that the enemy comes to distract the anointing from God and distract the anointing from you to get into God. Amen. So God has a solution whenever you are ready for your battle. God bless you.